Okay. In Joel chapter 2, we went there last week, I think, or the week before. I'm not sure how many days. But we talked about blowing the trumpet in Zion because I believe that was the beginning of trumpets, that we spoke about this. But there is the Lord's answer, which starts with verse 18. And sometimes, you know, you can see, and it shows clearly what the army of the Lord is going to look like. They're going to be able to do things that the church has never done because it was, let's say, stifled. The church was supposed to be an army. Now, somebody gave a word, I don't remember which day it was, the army, the marching orders, who had those words? Was it John and Ann or you guys?
Peggy from John.
Huh?
John Peggy said that John. I was putting my boots on.
Yes, it was a vision.
Yeah, it was the vision.
It was a vision. He saw you with the straps.
Right, strapping
on your
boots,
and you were getting marching orders.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you remember, the beginning of chapter 2, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, which I'm sure that must have been on the day of trumpets, I mean the Feast of Trumpets. And then, of course, verse 16 says it again. To blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, etc., etc. Okay? Then it says, let the bridegroom have his room, and the bride her chamber.
What verse is that?
16.
Yeah, 16. Joel 2. See, because I believe what God is trying to prepare us for is...
Huh?
You're in the wrong book.
I thought you said Amos.
Oh, no, no. Joel.
And I'm going, that's interesting because there was no verse 16. Oh! It doesn't work.
A small adjustment there.
Small adjustment.
See, if you look at the bridegroom coming after the bride, it's kind of cool because that shows you we have been declared the bride. That's already established. We are the bride of Christ. We are the remnant. Okay? So, if you look again, gather the people, 16, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. So that's telling you even from the babies, right? Let the bridegroom leave his room. Well, what does that mean? He's leaving the heavenly realms. Where is he coming? And the bride her chamber. So her hiding place is what? Her chamber. Let the priest who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn. Who's the inheritance? Israel. We are spiritual Israel, so we count. We've been grafted in, correct? Amen. Romans 9, you can verify that. A byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Well, if you look at that comment, you listen to the average news channel, and any time there's a mention of God, they sneer. Okay? This afternoon, I had a few minutes on the website, and I happened to listen to Donay Clement and her, Petruska or whatever. Did you listen to
I
it?
I did.
It was cool.
It was good.
It was very good.
I sent one to you, too. Huh? I'm not sure. I probably sent you the one that you already heard. I sent you one today.
Oh, okay. Well, it could be, but...
Could be the same one.
It was... She did a great job of putting together quite a few things. Then she confessed something, which is kind of cool. She put it on, I believe, YouTube, but they took it off because it's not something that Kate can expect, mm-hmm. accept. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's all her father's prophetic words from 2009, 2012, 11, 15, whatever, until he went home. And everything is lined up so that you're not missing a piece of the puzzle. And they wiped it out. It's, in other words, it's not surprising. If it's too hot to handle, they're not going to be pulling it out there because they can't handle truth. Okay? The spirit of truth is being stifled all over. So why? Because if the truth starts permeating the people of God, the victories that will manifest will be awesome. Okay? So, look at this particular verse, the last part of 17. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? Then the Lord will be jealous for his land. Well, you can verify that from 1867. That was the beginning of the jealousy so that the land of Israel would be restored. And that's when it started. Take pity on his people. So now you can see the progression of this prophetic word. The Lord will reply to them. I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. Even now, the United Nations, every time that Israel wants to do something or declare something, they what? Anybody what they know what they do? They won't accept it. No. In fact, it's the only country, and very tiny country, that the majority of the, five nations that are the core? England, France, U.S., Russia.
Russia, China.
I don't think they're part of the, no, I think it's four, just the four. And if one of them vetoes, they can't go forward. And usually the U.S. is the only one that will not condemn Israel.
Correct.
They'll veto the complaint. However, and it's not to down our ex-president, but when he was president and he went to the U.N., he condemned Israel along with the rest. The veto was not used. So that tells you that the majority of the world thinks of them as nothings or should be eliminated. Verse 20. Watch this word because it's very important. I will drive the northern army far from you. Is that them using their chemicals? Is that them using bombs? No. I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. Anybody ever see the northern part of Russia? There's nothing there. It's barren. There's no ability to function because it's so cold. With its front columns going into the eastern sea and those in the rear into the western sea. And its stench will go up. Its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Be not afraid, O land, which you could add, O land of Israel. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. You see the fruit? The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion, that's the church. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rain in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floor will be filled with grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. How many years is he having to repay for? Over 2,000. Over 2,000 in years they've been in slavery to other countries. The great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarms. My great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. So they've been what? Shamed. And you know by the next few pieces of this word what they went through. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will your people be shamed. Now watch the day of the Lord, which is what, when the young man that came with Pastor Jay, what did he tell us? What was his name again?
David.
David, correct. David made it very clear, and he verified what, oh my God. Better skip that part because my brain is not in that corner. The day of the Lord, 28. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Now, most people think that that is just for the church. That's not true. I believe all of Israel is going to taste this. Because this prophetic word was given to Israel. It wasn't given just to the church. It was given to Israel. Then he says, 29, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. The coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, notice he says it separately. So there's a different level between Mount Zion, which is the highest place in the city and in the country, and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Now, who's got the Amplified for that particular verse?
Which one?
I do.
All right. Nice and loud. 32. Yeah.
And whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the remnant of survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls.
All right. The deliverance is coming through people. Chapter 3 says, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. I said all this, and if you listen to Donay today, one little part that she emphasized was the restoration of the fortunes of Israel.
Must have been a different one. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. He said his Israel. He didn't specify Jerusalem. But, you know, when you look at what they lost in the different attacks that they went through, the restoration process is already in progress because they're selling oil and natural gas to different countries already. Well, how did the Muslim nations get rich in the past 50 years?
Oil.
Yeah. So, what is happening now? America is oil independent and we're sending oil on different cards. We're selling oil to different countries. That's not happened in how many years?
Long time.
Okay? So, in those days, at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. See, again, it's the Lord orchestrating. There will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel. I want you to specify judgment. That is a term used in a courtroom. Mm-hmm. Correct? Mm-hmm. All right. For they scattered my people among the nations. They divided up my land. They're still trying to call it Palestine. Correct? They cast lots for my people, and they traded boys for prostitutes. They sold girls for wine that they might drink. So they brought the young of Israel all over the different parts of the world, and they were sold like slaves. 44. Four. Now, what have you against me, O Tyre and Sidon? Those are different nations. And all you regions of Philistia. Are you repaying me for something I have done? If you are paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return on your own heads what you have done. Notice it's a choice that God does. He is the one that is going to bring down on their heads what they've done. They're guilty of something, and he knows exactly what they need to pay for. Then he says, verse 5, for you took my silver and my gold and carried off my finest treasures to your temple. Whose temple? Did they take the temple gold? Where did they take it?
To their?
Yeah, to their temple.
Yeah.
Anybody know where those temples were? All over Rome. All over the Roman Empire. And they used, in fact, that was one of the things that Jonathan Cahn gives in one of his books, that all of the treasures of, he said that on television as well. He said all of the treasures from the temple are what paid for the big forum or the Colosseum in downtown Rome. Mm. And then they put up an arch. I believe it's the arch of Tiberius's son. And that archway has a picture of the Roman legions bringing in the menorah, which we have up there, but they won that with the huge gold, that was solid gold. And they were bringing it into the city of Rome. So think about the insult to God, because that came from his temple with his design, mm-hmm. his pattern, his dictates, what he wanted King David to set up all the gold that he saved for Solomon to use, okay, plus whatever Solomon accumulated. So all the treasures that was robbed from that country has been used in different temples all over the world. Most of those temples at that time were demonic. Okay? So if you get a clue about that, you start understanding what God is really saying when he says, if you took my silver and my gold and carried off my finest treasures to your temples, you sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks, that you might send them far from their homeland. See, I am going to rouse them out of the places to which you sold them, and I will return on your own heads what you have done. That's serious business. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah. Is that the judge talking?
One moment. It's God talking.
Yeah. And I will sell them to the Sabians, which is the Africans. Right? How many Africans were sold in slavery? We have no idea. Okay? God will deal with them. A nation far away, and the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. Now, I'm going to preview this particular verse because before I read it, I want you to see what the enemy does. When they put up the United Nations building in downtown New York, they put a scripture on the building. This is the scripture. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. They reverse the words. That's what they did.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah. Oh.
So where it says swords, they put spears?
No, it says they will beat their swords into plowshares.
Oh.
They reverse the word. So it looks like scripture to most people, but it's really a reverse of what is written in the word.
That's because he twists things.
Huh?
That's because he twists things.
Yeah, exactly. The enemy loves to twist.
Okayed the building, okayed that.
Oh, yeah, there's the scripture, and they tell you it's the scripture. And if most people don't read this, it's the opposite.
Where are we at?
John, we're in Joel chapter 2, and we're at verse 10. So beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weaklings say, I am strong. Come quickly, all you nations from every side, and assemble there. Bring down your warriors, O Lord. Who are his warriors?
Us.
Us plus the heavenly army. We have warrior angels in our case. We have warrior angels on our case. Just close your eyes right now. Say, I have warrior angels on my case.
I have warrior angels on my case.
They're guarding over me.
They're guarding over me.
And they're sent from above.
And they're sent from above.
And they're doing a work.
And they're doing a work.
To keep us safe.
To keep us safe.
And to send us forward.
And to send us forward.
With our marching orders.
With our marching orders.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Verse 12. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. You see the judge there? Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's pressed out? Why do you think, you know, he's pushing this judgment? Everybody thinks that the judgment is going to come on America. Maybe down the road. But I truly believe that the saints are holding this whole country together. I believe the dedicated warriors and intercessors are doing a work in the heavens and on the earth to stifle the darkness and to eradicate some of it. 13. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Ah. What did most Christians realize when it says the great harvest is yet to come? The church is about to receive a harvest of souls. Amen. Who's going to be the harvesters?
We are
the harvesters. Who else? Scripture says he's going to send his angels to harvest the earth.
His angels.
Again, the angels, the army of heaven is going to do a work. Okay. Then he says, come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full, and the vats overflow, so great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. It's clear enough? I don't think that needs an explanation. It's just what it is. The Lord will be a refuge for his people. That's the church. A stronghold for the people of Israel. Blessing for God's people. 17. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Dwell in Zion. My holy hill, Jerusalem, will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. Aha. That's the future. In that day, the mountains will drip new wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the ravines of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of Achaia. But Egypt will be desolate, Edom a desert waste, because the violence done to the people of Judah. That's the revenge. That's the judgment against them. In those land, they shed innocent blood. Judah will be inhabited part-time?
Forever.
Yeah, forever. And Jerusalem through all generations, you could add the words to come. Okay? Their blood guilt, which I have not pardoned, I will pardon. Is that clear enough? The Lord dwells in Zion. You know, some people still have a hatred for the Jews, and they don't understand why. But if God says, I will pardon, he means it. They have gone through some unbelievable torment and unbelievable things. And when, you know, I told you earlier that Irene and I read that book, that his latest book about the Oracle, which is really, really very, very... It's generous to see God's grace to Israel and how all the coordinates fall into place. So this lined up with it today, and I said to the Lord, you really wanted me to go back to Joel 2? And he said, yes, because there is a prophetic word, and this is something that they read. This is not New Covenant. This is Old Covenant. This is the covenant that Joel prophesied over Israel. And I can remember communicating this word more than once for many years and saying to the Lord, well, when did the Jews really come in? When? How? Well, like I told you, with that oracle, he prophesied clearly in 1867. He prepared people to literally visit Israel at that time. Then you have in 1917, the first 50 years, another dramatic change took place. Then in 1947, for the first time, Israel was granted a piece of land. Or I should say the Jews were granted a piece of land. They were able to be returning. Then, I mean, there's a lot of detailed material that he gives with specific dates and times and so on, but you know, the overview is what I'm after, so that if you have a nudge to get the book, that'll be up to you. But the bottom line that I'm trying to give you is this. When God reestablishes Zion and he reestablishes Israel, he has a definite purpose and he's saying something to the world. What did he use to break up Pharaoh and all of his major, awesome country of that day? Egypt was the center for the world. Mm-hmm. It was the greatest army all over. What did he do with them?
Humbled them.
He buried them in the water. They got humbled.
In them. Yeah.
And then they changed their minds. Okay? When they changed their mind, he became arrogant again. And they thought they were going to destroy the entire nation. But to their surprise, they got buried alive. Mm-hmm. In the water. Is God planning to do that again? Is he saving Israel again?
No, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's in the process. We're seeing it happening before our eyes. Right. When I remember in 1947... I was 7 years old, so it's not hard to remember. And I can remember that there was such a celebration, and my mom, at that time, would not speak too much about her childhood, because don't forget, she was one of 12. But her best friend was a little Jewish girl that nobody in town wanted to play with. She was her best friend. She lived like one well, maybe three or four houses away from her on a side street. And at that time, my mother said nobody would play with her because she was a Jew. But she says, I love to go over there because she had lots of toys. So she was very tiny when she moved not far from where this young woman was. And she never really talked about her childhood that much because it was a very painful childhood. Her father was a very bad alcoholic. And the 12 kids suffered from a lot of problems, et cetera, et cetera. My mother couldn't read because she had bad eyesight and they had no money for glasses. So the nuns would sit her right at the front of the class so she could hopefully see some of the blackboard. But she couldn't pass some of her higher grades because she couldn't see and there was no glasses. So then, you know, you repeat the class. You repeat it again. But
I just wonder where this hatred for the Jews originated.
It's hatred for the Jew because the Jew has the message of restoration for the earth. And the restoration is every 50 years something is restored and more is restored to them. That's what that book is about.
And jealousy? The people are jealous that they...
No, it's really the ultimate goal is to reestablish his creation. In other words, everything that man from Adam all the way to today has lost will be transferred and changed in an awesome experience that's coming when Jesus is to return. That's what he paid for. So everything that is godly in us is going to increase, and everything that's negative and deadly and dying will be recreated and restored.
I was just going to ask, I was under the impression that people were jealous of the Jewish people because they were wealthy and they...
Well, for that season.
Right, and they had that knowledge, that wisdom.
Well, yeah.
And the people
of the world
grew to just hate them because they had something that the world, not the world, but that the people didn't have. So rather than trying to work with the Jewish people to try to glean from what they did have, they decided to just turn their backs on.
That's what I thought too.
Well, they became a threat.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't forget, when Solomon and King David were in full swing and in full display of God's ability to rebuild the nation, because you've got to remember, they came out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt.
That's right. That's right.
They did not come out empty-handed.
Nope.
They came out with the best of garments. Mm-hmm. Okay? Then, for 40 years, their garments didn't wear out.
Nope.
They didn't get old. Their shoes didn't, you know, worn. Right. Okay? And they had all that gold. But then what do? They make a calf out of it and worship the cow.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they had a lot of problems.
They forgot really quick. Yeah. Yeah, they forgot.
So Moses comes down and blows up, you know.
That's right.
That sounds like you and me when we get upset.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So he blew it. But that's why we have a little bit of a replica there. And so, you know, when you realize what the Jewish nation was all about, it was really God saying, if you look at the Jews, you're going to look at my compassion, my abilities to build up a country that was really not much of anything important. Mm-hmm. But he gave it to them and it had unbelievable fruit. Now the Jews are going to be coming into unbelievable spiritual fruit. Because that's why he's going to send his what? His spirit. Words. Verse 28. I will pour out my spirit on all people of Israel. If you want to add that. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy in Israel. Your old men will dream dreams in Israel. Your young men will see visions in Israel. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Where are we? We're in those days. Mm-hmm. We're just prior to it. I got an email from Ron because he keeps track of a lady that is in Canada. And, oh, Lord, whenever I have to think of a name and I'm under this anointing, my brain just goes blank. She's a very beautiful lady. She's probably in her 50s now. And I've got some of her music. You probably have some, too.
Ruth Frizzell.
Yes, Ruth. She just put out a help, Lord, because they are going to be doing some of what she wrote under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem in 2020. And it's going to be such a big thing that one of the countries in Europe is actually backing her financially to get some of this done. And that's what one of the things that I did get today. So, you know, such is the situation where the more that Israel is lifted up, when the president of our country recognized that nation, it was within moments of a particular time slot that was important so that it had to be done within that 50-year cycle. And my wife can verify because she read the book. The scriptures, I don't remember what the scripture is. I'd have to go back in the book and read it to you. But the scripture that was given on that day to every single synagogue around the earth, okay, was the same scripture that the president used. Get a clue on that one. Put it together and put it into your brain. All around the world in a 24-hour period, all the Jews on their holy Sabbath were declaring the exact same scripture. Wow. That blows your mind.
Absolutely.
Okay? And, you know, I'm not trying to build up Jonathan Cahn. I'm trying to build up the Holy Spirit,
right,
who has taken this young Jewish man and literally flipped him upside down. You know, he admitted on the air with one of the programs that Irene and I watched that he was a non-believer. He was raised as a Orthodox Jew, but when he went to college, he says, and threw it all away. Okay? Later on, when the Holy Spirit really started to impact him, and he gave his testimony, so I'm not spreading something he doesn't spread on the air, he literally remembered that Jesus went on the mountains to pray. And this was really cool. So he decided in his area where he lived, I believe it's in New Jersey, that there was a mountain not too far away, and he took his shofar, because he's not a believer yet, okay? But he's talking about Jesus openly because he's now excited because he's read the New Testament. And so he takes the shofar, goes up on the mountain, and he kneels down on a big rock, and he said, Lord Jesus, I want you to take over my life. I don't know how to do this, but just do it. Come into my life and do whatever you want to do. And then he blew his shofar. Well, he happened to go to a church in that local area and shared what he had done. And one lady said, I know that mountain. And she described the mountain. And he says, yeah, that's the mountain. I went up there at night. And he says, I brought a little flashlight and declared that I was going to serve the Lord because that's what Jesus did. He went on a mountain. I found a mountain. I went up. Well, guess what she said? That's where all the witches and the warlocks meet, and they have an offering altar up there.
Oh, no.
He said, no. So he went up in daylight, and sure enough, the very stone that he was kneeling on, it said, no Jew is allowed here.
Wow.
In print.
Wow.
Get a clue.
Yeah.
Can God handle you?
Yeah, he sure can.
Wow.
Amen.
And so, you know, get a clue. He gave his life. And then he shared with us that several years after this experience, somebody's connected with somebody. Long story short, he ends up in India. You guys know about this or not?
No.
Okay. So, he said everything went wrong. The tickets that they had bought, lost his ticket to go to fly to India, to New Delhi. Anyway, somehow, some way, he finally gets there. Then the people that are going to greet him are, there's problem after problem after problem. The car breaks down, they have an accident, the bus falls apart, all kinds of problems. Finally, he meets a believer who says to him, "Did you bring your shofar?" "Oh," he says, "of course." So he had a shofar in a case like mine. And he said, "You've got to come with me tomorrow." He said, "We're going on a mountain." Well, he says, he's thinking about his experience on his mountain in New Jersey. "I'm used to going in a mountain. Let's go." So goes up on the mountain. And there's hundreds of people on top of the mountain. They're all believers. They are all saying, "No Jew has ever been here," and there's a great big plaque to St. Thomas. Thomas the Apostle was the apostle that went to India, and he was killed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was on the mountain or at the bottom of the mountain in that region. And they were waiting for another Jew to blow the shofar to declare the day of the Lord for the salvation of India. So he said he almost died trying to get there. And then when he did, he saw the hand of the Lord literally with that great big monument. And there he was, the first Jew that would blow the shofar on the mountain in the middle of India.
Wow.
So he said, you pay a price. Because he almost died from being sick. The accident, the loss of the ticket, the whole nine yards. It's unbelievable what he went through.
And this was not too long ago, right?
No, not too many years ago.
Okay.
But don't forget, his biggest awesome thing, if you look up on the YouTube, you can look up Jonathan Kahn. And you can listen to his testimony. It's all kinds of material. But if you do, take time to listen to his declaration in the Capitol Rotunda. I mean, when he declared the word of the Lord in that rotunda and declared to Obama, at that time he was president, that what he was doing wrong, and he told him outright. Bingo. Then he was commissioned to go to the United Nations, I believe it's within the past year, and he declared the word of the Lord to the United Nations. So, is God afraid of these people?
No.
No. And is Israel being restored? Yes. That's what I'm trying to show you. This is being read by the Jewish people. They know that the Holy Spirit is available to them. And there are many, many Jews that are coming to the Lord, including Muslims. Do you know where the fastest growing church in the world is? Anybody got a clue? It is Iran. It's Iran. They're being persecuted like crazy, but it's the fastest growing church in the world. Now I want you to put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I heard this word.
I heard this word.
I want to digest it.
I want to digest it.
I need to go in.
I need to go in.
To a secret place now.
Secret place.
Where you can confirm your word to me.
Where you can confirm your word to me.
To continue to lift up Israel.
To continue to lift up Israel.
To continue to lift up Mount Zion.
To continue to lift up Mount Zion.
So that the Holy Spirit.
So that the Holy Spirit.
Will be flooding Israel.
Will be flooding Israel.
And all of the Israelites.
And all of the Israelites.
And especially Judah.
And especially Judah.
For your glory, Lord.
For your glory.
Because you have a plan for them.
For you have a plan for them.
For us and them to unite.
For us and them to unite.
Because the first church in the book of Acts.
Because the first church in the book of Acts.
Was filled with Jews.
Was filled with Jews.
They were celebrating the Sabbath.
They were celebrating the Sabbath.
They were celebrating the seven feasts of God.
They were celebrating the seven feasts of God.
And we are going to be doing.
And we are going to be doing.
As the Holy Spirit directs.
As the Holy Spirit directs.
So that we can be reconnected.
So that we may
reconnected. To our roots.
To our roots.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.
Don't stop now, Lord.
Don't stop now, Lord.
Keep it going.
Keep it going.
Until I have. So I have. So I have. So I have.